What's up, everyone? We're back. Welcome to Doctorly Unhinged. I'm Dr. Shaw.
Dr. Maxfield.
And today we have some hot topics for you. We'll be doing a brief life update. Then we're going to be hopping into our product of the day. And going viral on social media and in the press right now, fake Botox, counterfeit Botox is circulating around the United States. We're going to give you our tips to avoid them and what we think about this scandal. Then we're going to be talking about what happens when you don't rub in your sunscreen properly. This is just going to be a sun care tip for the summer we think you should all be doing. And finally, we're going to be talking about the internet's favorite sunscreens. So not our favorite sunscreens, but the internet's favorite sunscreens. And you're going to see what people have been loving online. You ready to get into it?
Let's do it.
All right. So to kick it off, what's going on in the world of Dr. Maxfield?
They're still loving watching the candidates. No one else cares, but this is like one of the biggest chess tournaments of the year. We are into the finals and it has been a dramatic finish. We have Gukesh, Hikaru, Jan, Fabiano, some of the favorites. Hikaru's a big streamer, so I know a lot of people know him. Anyway, I'm super thrilled. Finals are tonight. I'm going to catch my recap at 9 p.m. The other thing is I'm leaving the country this week. I'm kind of stressed out. I don't like to travel, but it should be a great trip, hopefully meaningful and useful as well.
Where are you going?
I'm going to France.
Paris, France. Dr. Maxfield travels the world. I have very strong opinions about Paris, but I will not voice them online right now. So have a good time. I have no food recommendations for you. Okay. So good luck. And have a great time. No, you're going to love it. Have you been to France yet?
No, but this one's a real quick in and out trip. Like, I think I'm there for 2 days.
That doesn't mean you won't see the Eiffel Tower.
Maybe true. I've seen the Statue of Liberty from a distance as well.
No, you'll see it. It's so very different than the United States and the Statue of Liberty. Like, you really have to be in the right place of New York City to see the Statue of Liberty. But if you're pretty much anywhere in Paris, you can see or will pass by the Eiffel Tower in a location that you can see it. Because there's not like a lot of obstructive towers or buildings.
Nice. Okay. Well, cool. That'll be beautiful, I'm sure. What's new with you?
Nothing really. I mean, we have a new product launch coming up for Remedy in 2 weeks or so. So, you know, it's kind of all hands on deck for that. We just sold out of our lip treatment, our dry lip treatment. That was yesterday. So that was 2 months sooner than we anticipated. So we're going to be out of stock here for a little bit. We're trying to expedite delivery of the next batch, but we were really not anticipating it to sell out so quickly. So first of all, thank you to everybody who purchased it. I hope that you all love it. But if you're looking for a restock, it's going to be a little bit, at least a month before we're back in stock. So so thank you all so much for giving Remedy a chance there. So that's pretty much the major updates for me. I get to be in one place for a little while, which that's something that's going to bring me joy a little bit. So good. All is good in the world. Let's go on to our product of the day. What have you been loving?
So this one's actually an eye cream. And, you know, I'm not have strong opinions on eye cream. I don't think they're quite necessary, but I get a lot of questions. And honestly, a lot of questions have come from reps, patients. It's always one of their things. And I'm like, look, you don't have to have it, but for your aging concerns, the Dermatology HPR eye cream. It's not a budget friendly one. It's also not your most expensive eye cream. It kind of lives in that middle ground, but it has HPR, which is gran active retinoid. And this is an ingredient that I'm finding more and more is falling into favor. It is supposedly a form of active retinoid, similar to your tretinoin. And it also is supposed to be very gentle. Not a lot of studies on it, but I think the data definitely supports, the anecdote supports that it's gentle. I think there's probably some benefit from it, and it has peptides. It's just your very standard, classic, straightforward aging eye cream. But I think it's actually a great product overall. I've got a lot of feedback from it from people now at this point. They seem to love it.
Okay, that's good. All right. I really haven't, I think I might have tried it just once. I've never used it consistently. I'm a big eye cream guy, actually. Big fan of eye creams in general, if you can find the right one. And still have always been a fan of the one from Biossance. But you've been mentioning this one for a while, so I think I got to give this one more of a serious chance here. My product of the day is one that our previous esthetician put me on to. So you've all seen low on our YouTube videos in the past, but she is always recommending this one to her patients, but also recommending this one to me all the time. So we're going to try it live. This is the Skin Better Science Tone Smart sunscreen compact. So this is a sunscreen compact. So it is, I'm going to show you kind of what this is. It really is makeup in sunscreen format. So it comes with this little pad. Wait, let me show you what this is. So only if you're watching on YouTube, you'll see what I'm talking about here, but it's essentially like a little compact that a makeup would come in, like a blush or something, I guess. Little compact. It has a mirror that's associated with it. And it comes with this little sponge. And it is a tinted sunscreen that comes like this. And it's a powder. And basically, you're meant to just kind of like put a little bit on the thing and then apply it to the face. So we're going to try it live and see how it does with my skin.
Just also, for those of you who can't see, he's wearing a white off-color shirt already. This is a dangerous, delicate procedure.
But do you see how it makes a difference?
Yeah, so I'm watching him apply it. The one thing that's hard is the video I see is going to be lower quality than what everyone else is going to see when this posts.
You can see it on my nose.
I can see it on your nose. So, but the good news is, I mean, I can't really see it elsewhere. I'm sure it's like, it kind of like evens your complexion, I should say. You look smoother, I guess.
So I think this is kind of meant to be more of like a makeup. But you see, it like kind of really did even out my skin tone, took out some of the redness that I had at my cheeks, kind of minimized the appearance of my pores by essentially hiding them with this. And, you know, depending on your skin tone, this could blend really, really well. So overall, I think it's a nice product. It's pretty expensive. I think that similar products are also expensive. There's one from Dior that you can buy at Sephora that's also probably a little bit even more expensive than this one. I think this one's like $65. She swears by this for reapplication. So I don't think this would be a great, because you're just not going to get the thick enough layer that you need to get that SPF 68 using a powder. Like, you would have to use the whole thing, essentially. So this is really just, in my opinion, a really good way to reapply sunscreen, knowing that you're not going to get the SPF on the label with the amount that you're applying. So if you're applying a nice base of sunscreen in the morning and using this to reapply, my opinion, especially if you're just like indoors and not in the Miami heat for, you know, several hours, I think that this is a nice reapplication that will be elegant and give you at least some additional protection from the sun. And I also think it, because it's a tinted sunscreen, that you could actually use this as like a second layer of sunscreen. Like, let's say in the morning you wanted to have that cosmetic masking effect of the product, and you put a non-tinted sunscreen as your base and use this as almost like a little bit of foundation, then you would get the tinted sunscreen component to it. And I think that that could compound the benefits of your initial sunscreen. Necessary? No, but, you know, applying it just now, I kind of liked the way that it made my skin look.
Nice. Actually, it's important. I think it's more important for a lot of people than we realize, because reapplication throughout the day is one of the hardest things to actually maintain. So the product has a lot more utility probably than I'm even giving it credit for at this moment. So I love it. I haven't tried it myself, but I can totally see the utility.
The problem with Skin Better is that it's like only available through your dermatologist or through a link online from a provider that you are already connected with. So you can like make an account. Like, we've talked about Skin Better before. We'll put a link if you're watching on YouTube, and you can shop for Skin Better products, but the accessibility issue is a little bit limited because you can only get it from a link. You can't just like Google it and buy it, essentially. So you really can only get it from that link, which is plus or minus. At least you know you're getting authentic product. But at the same, because it comes right from Skin Better Science, the brand, it ships directly from them. But then the downside is that it's just not like, you can't just like walk into Sephora or Ulta or Target and buy it. So that's a little bit of a bummer.
Yeah, for sure. So speaking of authentic products, such a nice segue. There is, and it's all over the news. I'm seeing it everywhere, on every news channel, on the television news channel. So I don't know how to really watch this, but like, fake Botox. Are you buying it? Are you using it? Are you at risk? So recently, I mean, we can pull up some of these news articles here, but recently people have been getting sick and hospitalized from treatments.
So this is an article coming from NPR. Fake Botox has sickened patients nationwide. Here's what you need to know, and here's what you need to avoid. And this is something that came from a warning from both the CDC and the FDA. So according to the FDA report, this is coming from April 16th, 2024. FDA is alerting healthcare professionals and consumers that unsafe counterfeit versions of Botox have been found in multiple states and administered to consumers for cosmetic purposes. The FDA is aware of these adverse events, including hospitalizations linked to the counterfeit Botox. Symptoms include blurred or double vision, difficulty swallowing, dry mouth, constipation, incontinence, shortness of breath, difficulty lifting the head. So this seems to be kind of spreading up and down mostly the East Coast here. And what do we think about this? And what can patients do to try to avoid complications like this?
So I think one thing that people don't realize, which is reasonable and actually a good thing, is that Botox or botulinum toxin is one, a byproduct of a bacteria. This bacteria, which is an anaerobic bacteria, produces the toxin. Then this toxin affects the nerve synapse. Medically, actually, what most doctors and providers will be exposed to in their studies is that it can cause systemic symptoms. If you consume the bacteria often through classically canned food that has been canned improperly, you will have the same constellation of symptoms. And so, like a lot of ingredients, you take these, the mechanism of these untoward effects, which is its relationship with the acetylcholine and snap and snare complex, and you can focus it and harness it into something useful. It's the stopping of muscle movement. And so the symptoms that these people are actually having is the same symptoms you would have if you were exposed to the bacteria through classic exposure, like through canned foods.
Yeah, so there is a condition called botulism, and can occur in many different ways. So, you know, the which is why some people are like, well, this is a toxin you're injecting in your face. And it certainly is. So there's a bacteria called the Clostridium bacteria, and it produces a toxin, which is essentially the Botox toxin, except for the Botox toxin that we use to inject for cosmetic purposes is really a purified protein derivative of this toxin that is safe and effective for being injected locally in the face. Now, what this bacteria produces is something that can paralyze the muscles. Now, this is why we don't feed honey to babies under 1 year old, is because honey can be a breeding ground for this bacteria. The bacteria is ingested by a baby. Inside the baby's stomach, it can release this toxin, and that toxin can end up paralyzing muscles and causing diarrhea and other things. Also, that bacteria, if it's in like the dirt in a location, it can be aerosolized into the air, and a bunch of people locally can develop botulism. And so this is something that is a known... botulism is actually the you know, botulinum toxin is actually considered like a, what was that like in testing when we were in med school? It was considered like a, something that could be used for like terrorism. What was I forget what the actual name is for.
I know I'm curious. I can't remember. I need to know this word.
A bioweapon or bioterrorism. So yeah, so it's botulism. Botulism is a disease caused by a toxin made by certain types of bacteria. The toxin is called botulinum toxin. It's one of the most deadliest toxins known, and it can be used for biologic attacks. And so, yes, theoretically, you know, this could be dangerous if not purified and safely, you know, created into a product that we're using. And it appears as if this medication has been counterfeited, and it looks like a couple of med spas, even some people in their homes, have purchased this Botox that is not really Botox. It's not Botox that came from Allergan, which is owned by a company called AbbVie. It seems to be this counterfeit version of this Botox that people have been injecting, and that is leading to these like widespread effects that you would see with traditional botulism or poisoning from botulinum toxin.
Right. So I guess the question from there for people is, how can you avoid this? And we get these notifications through our email and professional societies. And one important thing here is They said there are no indication that any events were linked to AbbVie's FDA-approved Botox, and the Genuine product is still considered safe and effective for its intended use. And the only reason I say that is just like Dr. Shah mentioned, this is not a problem with the ingredient itself. This is not a problem even if like contamination of the ingredient itself is purely a counterfeit product. And so how can you recognize it? First, like everyone is saying across the news channels, is just make sure you're seeing a certified individual, like your dermatologist, your plastic surgeon, your healthcare professional, because they're getting their product straight from the producer, the manufacturer, the company, and there is no interruption of that supply chain. There actually was a useful-ish thing that was sent throughout the professional societies, and that there are some things you could look for if you happen to have the counterfeit product in hand. It might look like this. It might have the vial container lot number C3709C3. So if you remember that and you're getting Botox and you notice that, then congratulations, you've just saved yourself. It also might say botulinum toxin type A instead of the packaging should say onabotulinum toxin A. The counterfeit might say it has 150 unit doses, which is not on your true dosing, which comes in 50, 100, or 200. And then the other one is a little bit more obvious in that the language on the packaging is not in English, as the pure and true products are distributed in America and therefore have English as the language on the product itself.
Yeah, definitely. Now, it appears as if these were all done. All of these cases have been at non-medical facilities. So, you know, take that for what it's worth there. Doesn't mean that going to a non-medical facility is necessarily going to be dangerous, but it appears as if these have all been done at either somebody's home, some unregulated medical area, a medi spa, and these have either been injected by untrained professionals or by people that have no medical training at all. So ultimately, it appears that probably one of the safest things you can do is go to somebody that is known for doing this and trained to do this. And the other thing, there's not really much that you can do, honestly, because everything that you just named there, Dr. Maxfield, is something that pretty much no customer or patient right. sees. So no, because like truly, I'm trying to think of it from like the patient perspective. Let's say that you see this report and now you're worried. You're about to go in to get to your Botox appointment and you're concerned, is the product that is going to be injected into me counterfeit? And if it's counterfeit, am I going to get all these terrible symptoms of paralyzation that people are experiencing? And so I think that's a legitimate fear, right? Like, you know, there is this already inherent distrust of the medical system. And then you see reports like this and you get worried about them. Again, this is happening on a very, very small scale. But what is my suspicion is that there are people who are trying to save money on their Botox. Botox is expensive to buy directly from Allergan. They're buying it from some third party or they're buying it from overseas. What's coming is not legitimate and people are experiencing side effects. So what can you do? Because when you're a patient, you actually don't, a lot of times, and this is what we do in our office, we actually draw up in a back room. And then we just come into the room with the syringes filled with the amount that we requested. So if I say to, you know, our staff, hey, you know, I need 40 units of Botox for this patient, they're going to come back in with, you know, six syringes filled with 40 units that I'm going to then inject, right? So they're never actually seeing the packaging in which this is coming in. And one thing you could do is if you're going to a place that is certainly doing like a discount Botox and it's not at a medical facility and you are skeptical, you could ask them to show you where they drew up from. Be like, I want to see the packaging of what you drew from. And everybody should have that. And if it has everything on it that looks legitimate, then maybe you'll feel a little bit safer. And then just going to somebody that you ultimately trust. I mean, every Botox bottle has a lot number on it. And that lot number we log in the system. And we do this really because in case there's any untoward side effect, they can trace it back to that original lot number. So everything has a lot number that's registered with Allergan or AbbVie. I spent a long time before this episode trying to see if there was a way that somebody could type in a lot number to legitimize it. But apparently there's no like public facing portal for that. So you can't like get the lot number, type it in, and have some verification from Allergan that this is legitimate Botox. So there's not really much you can do other than going to somebody that you really trust and asking them to look at the packaging that they're being injected with.
Right. No. It speaks to the difficulty, again, from the consumer side. It's like, how do you know you're getting? How do you know what you're getting is safe? And honestly, for the moment, though, I think as this is a trending topic, you know, if your doctor's aware of this, I think it's not unreasonable to honestly ask that, although historically it probably would never be asked for. But I think at the moment, as more doctors are aware of this and as more patients become aware of this, I think just to kind of establish that peace of mind, I don't think it's an unreasonable ask, even if you have to provide some context as to why you're asking, because some people still won't be aware that this is a thing, especially if they're not on social media and they are just purchasing straight from the manufacturer. They might not know that this is going to be a problem or has been.
Okay. Well, that pretty much sums it up. I think this is not something to be like widespread worried about. But I think it's overall just kind of a warning that, you know, Botox and any cosmetic procedure is a medical procedure. Skin is being broken. Things are being injected into the skin. You want to make sure you're going to somebody that you know has both the skills and the integrity to be ordering authentic product so that you can be doing the best things for your own skin health. So ultimately, just be cautious, be thoughtful. Don't always look for the best price. You know, you are dealing with your body, which is directly related to your overall health. Just be cautious out there. So next up, let's talk about this very particular burn that we're seeing circulated online. This one was sent to us from a Reddit forum, but ultimately it's a picture of a guy's back and his back is really burned in a very particular pattern. In fact, it has a little M on it. And that's because they used a spray on sunscreen, but then didn't rub it into the rest of the back. And so you see areas of erythema or redness, and that redness is the areas where the sunscreen didn't apply. Now, this to me is reassurance that sunscreen certainly works because the areas that were covered, he did not get a sunburn in, but the areas that were uncovered, he did get a sunburn in. So if you're watching this on YouTube, we'll show an image of what this particular sunburn looks like. If you're listening to this online, essentially there's just patchy areas in which the sunscreen wasn't applied, and those areas are significantly burned.
Yeah, so this is something we'll see, or I'll see this 50, 100, 20, 200 times this summer. And so while this picture looks wild, this is actually like daily life for human beings who are using spray sunscreens. And that's what my biggest knock on spray sunscreens. This is a real problem, a consistent problem. And so even in our recent video, I think I talked about how I use spray sunscreens. First off, if you're spraying and there's wind, it's blowing it away. Second off, if you're spraying it on a certain area, you need to make sure it extends to the adjacent areas too. And you just do that simply by rubbing it in. Third, the way I like to do it, which I think is the best way to do it, is actually just spray it into your hand. Like that's the only way you can guarantee like a consistent coverage across the areas, because when you're spraying it, it's uneven, it's blown around. You get a little bit here, a lot more there. But if you just spray it into your hand, you apply it to all the areas and you get a consistent covering and protecting. It kind of negates the whole point of a spray sunscreen, in my opinion, which speaks to the question of how valuable are they? But I really do believe that that's the only way you can use these effectively.
100%. So those are the tips. Apply, like rub it in. You're just otherwise just not going to get the coverage that you need. And this sunburn is not only going to take a while to heal, but it's also going to look crazy for a little while. So just be cautious out there. Simple tips for the summer. Now let's go on to some of the products circulating online that just consumers like, right? So there's the what we like. There is kind of what's going viral. But then what are real people, right? Not influencers, not any, like, who are real people, real users? You know, all of you listening to this, like, what are you really liking? What are you really using? And so we're going to go through some of the internet's favorite sunscreens. It is that time of the year again, and we have a lot of sunscreen videos scheduled for YouTube in general. But let's just talk about some of those top products. So what are we seeing online?
So some of the products I'm seeing, there's actually a disproportionately high number of Korean products on this list, which again, I think speaks to the aesthetics of them. And then also hopefully it speaks to, I guess, the visibility of the Korean sunscreens, even though there are extra steps required to purchase them. So first up is a couple that have gone viral over the last year or two. One is Round Labs Birch sunscreen. I think we've talked about that recently or will have soon. The second one is Beauty of Joseon. Those are two that compete, the Rice Relief probiotic sunscreen. Those are two that compete for top in my book. I do absolutely love them. One is actually one we've talked about before too, the CeraVe hydrating sunscreen. That one, that's a very different sunscreen actually from the rest that they listed, which is surprising. It's like aesthetically a very different quality. And the other one's one I have not used. This one's Bioderma Photoderm Aqua Fluide. Those are a few. And then Isntree Watery Sun Gel is on here, another great. And then one that I ran to try just before because I saw this on the list is the Numbuzzin One. And this is specifically their clear filter sun essence. It's good. It is really good. I've used it before. I forgot I had it and I just used it again. It's exceptionally soft. If you look at the ingredient list, it's kind of wild because you have like realistically maybe 15 different antioxidants plus the sun filters. And somehow it still feels minimalistic, lightweight, but it's not the most simple product because of the laundry list of antioxidants in there.
Right. This is a product I have not tried, but you know, we're getting more into these Korean sunscreens. And I think aesthetically, I mean, this is what most people are looking for, right? And this is why I say, you know, best sunscreen is the one that you'll use every day, because you'll see all these products that are promoted online, but ultimately, like, the people move towards the ones that are the most cosmetically elegant at the end of the day. And that's why, you know, Round Lab Korean sunscreen exploded this year. That's why Beauteous Joseon for the last 3 years has been one of the most popular sunscreens. Bior's UV Aqua Rich, which I wasn't a huge fan of, but I was a huge fan of Isntree's Hyaluronic Acid Watery Sun Gel, which again made this list. So all of these sunscreens tend to have one thing in common, and above all else is the cosmetic elegance of these products. It is the number one, in my opinion, most important thing people look at when trying to choose a sunscreen. You know, all of these happen to be SPF 50. They all happen to be Korean sunscreens. And I think that's just the nature of the beast. So there's also this Skin 1004, which is another sunscreen from Korea, which is incredibly popular as well. So I think it all just comes down to one thing, and that's just finding sunscreens that are going to blend well with people's skin. And I truly think that that's the only thing that people care about.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we get this question all the time. I probably get it 5 times a day at this time of year. What's the best sunscreen? What's the best? And our answer is always the same, and it's not the one they want. It's what will you wear? Because this is a regulated ingredient. We know the effectiveness is there if the numbers match up on the packaging, 30 plus, and then broad spectrum or PAA plus, 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 plus. And so really it's very difficult because it's just like, what aesthetically are you looking for? And I'll give you I'll give you a list of a few that I find work for different types of skin types, and then they can try them out and hopefully find one they love and wear it consistently. Can I say though, these new sunscreens, these Korean sunscreens, are so aesthetic and so hydrating. For someone who doesn't have particularly dry skin, I'm finding that these moisturizing sunscreens really make that morning moisturizer feel redundant. Like, it wasn't the case, I think, with older sunscreens. And again, this is depending on you. For dry skin, you probably, and the older you get, I think you do need that morning moisturizer, and you need to moisturize throughout the day. But these hydrating sunscreens are so good. Like, it feels like I'm doing the same step twice.
You know, for a long time, it's been at least 2 years, where like every time I build a morning routine, I kind of conspicuously leave off moisturizer.
Me too.
And people always inevitably say, well, like, what about your moisturizer? And I always say you can use one. But I think that most sunscreens, I mean, if you really look at the inky list or the ingredient list on sunscreens, pretty much any sunscreen, not just the newer ones, but pretty much any sunscreen, there's always hydrating ingredients in there. There's always, you know, different lipids, you know, whether it's shea butter or whether it's humectants like glycerin, there's always something in there, right? Because in order to create like an emulsion that is going to be a sunscreen that you can apply to the skin and you know, have the product be the texture that you need it to spread, essentially, you almost have to have these moisturizing ingredients and the same moisturizing ingredients that you would find in any moisturizer product. So I truly believe that, you know, some sunscreens are certainly more hydrating than others. Some of them are marketed as moisturizer sunscreens. Those tend to actually fit exactly what the description says. But I think pretty much any sunscreen nowadays really is geared to be a moisturizer as well. And you could potentially skip that step, especially like you said, if you're not somebody who has like extremely dry skin that needs 2 layers of moisturizer.
There it is. Another optional step, nuanced step.
Absolutely. So that pretty much covers up everything. I did want to like circle back on some of the questions that we had from the previous chat, because we did ask last time about like what people's hobbies were.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to read some of these off so that we can discuss them a little bit. So bear with me while I pull up the comment section here. So First top comment here is main hobby is, this is coming from Helen DK9. Main hobby is skincare. Second closest weight training. And third would be reading. Then we have Mary saying reading, walking, hiking, being in nature, playing board games. And then a lot of comments about washing their hands. Then we have some gardening, some cooking, some traveling, animals. I live in the woods and I'm happiest outside. And so, you know, I think people do have this eclectic mix of interests, and we're sort of in one of those interests is skincare. So, it doesn't seem that people that are into skincare particularly have that many overlapping hobbies outside of skincare, which is sort of interesting. And there was, I think, one person that mentioned chess, but I can't find the comment.
The one person. Oh, well, thank you for trying. It's really cool. Like, it is finding like a piece of common ground that kind of unifies a lot of different personalities and interests. Shout out to the board game person there. I have like 50 board games here, but no one plays them. It's hard to find board game people. It's also hard to find the time. I like the complex ones, the strategy ones, but board games are great. Cards are great. There are a lot of hobbies I like. As I was looking through the list too, I'm like, yeah, I like that. I like that. But I'm kind of one of those people who's done a little bit of everything in my life and enjoys almost everything I do.
You know, board games, I think, are underrated. Yeah, I think anytime we've actually taken the effort to sit down and do a board game with like a group of friends, it's always a great time, mm-hmm. You know, always, right? But it feels like it doesn't happen enough, but they're always a good time because they're, you know, it's good, clean fun. You get to chat, you know, there's always good laughs during these board games. So I kind of love that. I was always a huge fan of like card games, like Hearts, Spades, yeah. Kent. So those types, I'm a big card game player. I used to play Hold'em all the time. So yeah, I think those are a ton of fun. And I think more and more like kind of the best days are the days where just group of friends, grab some coffee, some tea, you know, just kind of sit around the table and chat. Those are kind of the best nights, I feel like, for me. So I don't know. I don't really have too many hobbies because I work so much on different projects, and I find a way to like make all my hobbies work somehow. I think you're always been somebody who's had like a ton of hobbies outside of whatever you're working on. And so I think it's interesting to kind of see what the overlap is.
Yeah, for me, it's like a way to balance and offset. I've always needed that, like, if I'm doing something artsy, I have to do something physical. If I was doing too much physical, I always had to do something artsy. And so there's still like this weird balance in my life where I can feel it. Like if I'm pulled too much in one direction, I have to offset it. So that's kind of how hobbies have always filled my void. That's why I get painted when I painted. That's why I like do chess now. I just needed more mental exercise. Like I needed to like aggressively push my mind. I did language at one point. Like it's always something, and there's always some balancing reason why I'm doing one thing or another.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you all so much for all your comments. We'll try to see if we can incorporate any of the things that you all mentioned, knowing that they're hobbies. So thank you all so much for tuning in. Please like, comment, and subscribe. And wherever you listen to podcasts, definitely check us out. We do, if you're listening on Spotify or Apple, we always upload a video component to this podcast on our Derm Doctor YouTube channel. Also, Doctorly Unhinged is the name of the channel, but the handle is at Derm Doctor for it. So definitely check it out. Thank you all so much for tuning in, and we'll see you in the next episode.
Yeah, we appreciate you. We'll see you next time.